Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Last segment of the day, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, our guest to the top of the hour. Jim, thank you so much for sticking around, man.
Always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
The time flies so fast. There's so many things to talk about, and I certainly appreciate you spending the time with us, not just today, but certainly over the years, Jim. It's always been fun. So let's talk about Bill Barr, your former boss, right?
Absolutely. He was for a time. The first incarnation of Bill Barr was my tenure. Again, not to defend my past indication when he started, he would be a wonderful attorney general, which again proved not to be the case. I'm willing to acknowledge that publicly. First time around, he was much more of an institutional guy. I'll leave it just at that. We can talk about other things down the road here. Yeah.
Okay, so Bill Barr, and he had the opportunity to, you know, as they were looking at this Mueller investigation, two parts, the Russian collusion and, of course, the obstruction of justice. Seemed like a slam dunk case. They apparently deliberated internally and decided not to release any documents and said nothing to see here. We can't prove it. But now today, a federal appeals court has ordered the release of that memo, discussing whether Trump obstructed the investigation into the Russian interference. It was a unanimous panel decision. Jim, I know you took great umbrage with the fact that he was not and had not been and will not be now due to statutes of limitations charged with obstruction in that case. But what does this mean for the rest of us for history, Jim?
Sure. And again, to go back to that very point, I think we're just about at the point where all those things that Bob Mueller identified that were in fact obstruction, to make it one last time, they may put this to bed finally on a Friday afternoon in August. If you and I were to have done those things, if we were in those similar circumstances, you may be certain you would have been charged, convicted, and sentenced. And so that's the frustration with this. When history looks back on this, I think people will say, gee, I'm reading this Mueller report. The Russia stuff, okay, maybe not quite as compelling, although it's there too. But the obstruction justice stuff is pretty compelling. Why wasn't there not a charge? We know the history, and that gets to today's issue, which is Bob Mueller comes out and says, first of all, nothing to see here. He writes this a letter that basically summarizes. Bill Barr, yes. Right? Exactly. Yeah, Bill Barr comes out and says, nothing to see here. I've looked at this. He reads it very, very quickly after it's released by the Mueller folks and says there's nothing there. The morning, you remember the morning that you and I were on the radio,
yes,
right
I
here,
do.
And trying to read through this very quickly. He has another press conference in which he once again reiterates trying to create this narrative that there is, as you just said, nothing to see
here.
He was successful in doing so. And with all due respect to the other party and other folks out there, partisan and non, did not do a good job of pushing back. Admittedly, part of this is, as Mike was just saying, it's a couple hundred pages. It's hard to push back when it's that thick, and that's, I get that completely. On the other hand, plainly told the American public a story that was not true, not an accurate representation. I think Bob Mueller himself, admittedly not the crisp and very acute guy that he was early in his career, also acknowledged that representation in that letter, those things that Barr said, were not accurate. And so today, we're going to get as a result of this appeals court panel saying no, release the background to all that. We're going to get the background backstory on the deliberation about that. We're going to find out what exactly who said what to the attorney general at
There's
the time.
There's no deliberation,
right,
Jim. We know
right,
this already, right? I mean, right. And what if we find out that there was no deliberation? It was always that way. They were always going to come out with that position.
Right.
What then?
Right. And that is the question now for history, right? Because as you indicated, the statute of limitations, there may be a few lingering counts there that could be charged into next year, but pretty much March, April, May, June, July, August of 2017, we're 5 years beyond that.
Are
now,
any of those folks that they would have, quote unquote, deliberated about these charges still at the FBI? Or are you talking about
the FBI, Main Justice, too. Remember,
yeah.
These are decisions made across the street at 9th and Constitution there. Presumably you've got some civil servants who are there, and they I'm sure they're still there. You probably have an awful lot of political people who are no longer there, who are at the top levels of the AG's staff at that time. That's the way it is for any administration, including this present administration. They're still around. They're still out there in any event. And maybe the one thing you can do, whether you are a freelance journalist or someone who's got the power of a New York Times behind you, is to track some of them down and say, you know what? Now it appears that you said this about that account of the obstruction justify this? Explain this away. And again, nothing you can do. There's nothing about...
You can shame them?
You can shame them. Maybe that's what we're left with, because once again, man, we didn't do the thing that we should have done. We should have done 4 and 5 years ago, which would have been, again, at the time, not to indict him because of the memorandum, but you look down Capitol Hill, he should have been impeached on those issues, right?
All I'll see is a bunch of bunk anyway. You can absolutely should indict him. That's never been challenged, and that's one of the reasons why we're in the position that we are. And when you have in my opinion, if this comes out, and it seems to me that you basically have, what, Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States of America, obstructing justice of a report of the president obstructing justice.
Right, right. You've got double obstruction here going on, right?
I mean, so
right,
Barr gets away with it, Trump gets away with it, and we're all supposed to sit here and just, what, hold hands and say, well, we'll try better next time?
And to your point, the civics point is just this. That is a memorandum inside the Department of Justice. You're absolutely right. Never been tested in a court. And, you know, frankly, other things that this attorney general, our future attorney general, could do to correct history if this happens again, and may well in our lifetimes, let's rescind that memorandum.
Absolutely.
If, in fact, Bob Mueller is true when he says in the last words of the Mueller report, no one is above the law. And what does he quote? He quotes Nixon versus United States. If that means something, then you know what? If you're in the White House, you're at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and you do something that is criminal, you should be responsible for it in the past, in the present, and in the future. That has to be rescinded. Your point is very well taken.
Just like you, just like me, Jim. Right, right. Just a couple minutes left. I want to roll back briefly, if I may, to New York Attorney General Tish James and the civil case against Donald Trump. There's so many angles coming at him. Is she able, if given the evidence to prove it, is it her responsibility? Can she bring criminal charges against Trump and or the organization aside from this civil case if during this case, you know, Weisselberg says implicates the Trump organization in something criminal.
Right, right. And so the answer is her jurisdiction is principally, if not predominantly, civil in New York.
Right, right.
And so that's what she's pursuing right now. That's a significant thing. Remember, she shut down Trump University.
Yes.
She jumped on the foundation. So this is no small thing, going after the entire corporation, the organization.
But is she blocked from bringing criminal case again?
She would be under her jurisdiction, but what can she do? She can send it across Foley Square and say, Mr. District Attorney Alvin Bragg, I've got this additional information here. Charge this. Again, he can charge under the state statutes as well.
Do you think he's sandbagging? What's your impression on Bragg? Last 20 seconds.
Right. And, you know, I'm disappointed by the fact, I'm concerned about the fact we have these DAs who left and said, you know what, we had a case here. I'm concerned about that. I haven't looked inside the entire file. I don't know for sure. I think there's a concern in there about being sufficiently aggressive in a situation like this.
We are aggressive when we have to be. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours. Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Always
man.
A delight to be with you, Don.
Have a wonderful weekend. Folks, you have a wonderful weekend as well. Thank you, Evan. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Crudy. Good luck tonight calling those games. We're the Devil's Advocates. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Good. He's not gone. That's the whole point.
This is what
he's
do.
Never gone.
Is just
well, history's
so
written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
You see?
Right, right.
The bit snitty.
That's right.